Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Well, it's finally a glorious and cool day. Mind you, it's in the 60s here in the South, and it was really nice to get rid of that hot, muggy air. You know, I had someone send me an email that said, "My goodness, you always post pictures of winter and snow and how pretty and Christmassy and everything it is, but we're here and we're freezing and it's not pretty." And they'd love to be where I am. And I'm like, you know, I answered it back and I said I like change. And I think everybody is having a lot of change now because different parts of the country are having different types of weather that may not be their normal. I know we've been hotter than Dickens and we'll be in the 80s again this week, but it may be freezing cold up in Canada and it's a lot colder than they're used to. So I still like to post my pictures of winter. I can always dream about being there, and hey, they can go find some pictures of the hot weather and dream on those, right? Good items for meditation. Well, today we're going to be speaking about homeopathy, because you know, with the changes of the seasons, the changes of the weather, it's like all of a sudden you come in the door and you say, "Oh my goodness, my throat's bothering me, and I didn't realize it all day." And wouldn't it be so much easier to take something so simple as homeopathy and just go to sleep and have it be gone the next day? Wow, sounds like a miracle, right? Some things, yes, they are. Homeopathy, simple, sublime, inexpensive, has no side effects. Why not try it? Especially for children and even for adults. That's what we always talk about. So today we're going to say, what is homeopathy? Why should I even care? You know, I'm just going to, you know, keep running through my day. Tomorrow when I get up, oh, well, maybe I'll be sicker tomorrow, but I think I'm going to wish upon a star that I'm going to be better tomorrow and do nothing. And then your day turns into whatever is chance. So homeopathy maybe is about take a chance. Take a chance. Try a remedy. Can't hurt. And if it helps, wouldn't that be a miracle? So today we're going to be speaking with Dr. Lisa Amerine. She is a naturopathic physician, and she is a specialist in working with children and women with homeopathy and all the other natural medicine techniques that she does use in her office. You know, it's really important to be able to find someone who can speak to you about homeopathic remedies, because you go in the store and you look at these little tubes of little white BB pellets, and you're going, okay, there's no way that that's going to help me, and I don't even know what to do with it, and there's no instructions, and there's no information. So today, we'll be speaking about a few different remedies and how you may be able to go to the store and say, I want this, 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 and this. Take it home, write down what it's for in your own words, and say, I'm going to give it a try. You have nothing else to lose but maybe a few dollars. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Lisa to the show today. I know she's all excited to be talking about homeopathy. So Dr. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So I wanted to share a little about my practice before we start. I own a practice called Pure Homeopathy, and I practice in Lafayette, Colorado, just outside of Denver. I've been here in practice for 10 years with an exclusive specialty in homeopathy treating women and children. So I'm happy to share with you your questions with homeopathy today.
You know, I really think that it's a great idea. Don't you believe with homeopathy what I'm saying, that it's so simple and give it a try? You know, how did you even start getting into homeopathy? It's not something that, I mean, you're younger, I'm older, you know. I mean, I can remember this kind of stuff in the 50s and 60s, but I'm sure for you at this time, how do you get into it, and how do you help others say, what the heck is that?
Sure, sure. Well, I was introduced to homeopathy as a young child, but the story is that my mom is a conventional nurse, and she was working in an obstetrician office, and she had a patient who was pregnant who had a urinary tract infection, and my mom had done the culture and diagnosed this urinary tract infection and said, you have to be on antibiotics or you can cause preterm labor or lose the baby. And this woman, I remember her name was Margie, and she's become a dear family friend, said, no, I'm going to take homeopathy. I'm going to do a remedy. And I'll tell you what, I'll come back tomorrow, and if it's still here, I'll take your antibiotic. So my mom was terrified because there's severe problems if you have a urinary tract infection and you're pregnant. And so she was very worried, but Margie came back the next day, and she did another test, and there was no bacteria in her urine. There's no infection at all. It was gone. And my mom did the test the day before and the next day and thought, there's no way that I was wrong because I do this. I'm very good at this. And so she asked her, what did you do? And so Margie said, this is homeopathy. I can treat things like this urinary tract infection or when I was nauseous in pregnancy or my children's illness. And this friendship sparked, and I was a child, so I came along with it. So I really don't know that much else other than homeopathy, other than it still takes that open mind to hear, when you hear these, oh, this urinary tract infection is gone, to say, what did you do, and how did that happen?
And that's so difficult for people to grasp, is the idea, as I said in the beginning, you know, if you have a scratchy throat, are you just going to go to sleep and just hope for the best the next day, or are you going to do something about it? You know, and we always talk about homeopathy is so quick if you catch things in the beginning, and how easy it is to even use.
Sure, sure. So if you have a scratchy throat or you feel there's a cold coming on and you're wondering, you go to bed, lots of us know we're getting sick. We can feel it lurking. You can take a homeopathic medicine, the one that's indicated the most when you have that first onset, you feel like you're getting sick but you don't have anything specific, is Ferrum Foss. So Ferrum Foss is the name of it, and you can find it at any health food store. You can take a pellet or two and go to bed, and very frequently, if it's the right homeopathic medicine, you'll wake up feeling much, much better.
And isn't that so much easier? I think people are always saying, you know, oh, well, I'll wait until it gets bad, and then if it gets bad, then I'm going to wait until it gets worse, and then I'll go see the doctor. And you come in, and you're so full-blown, and you say to the doctor, I have a meeting tomorrow, or I have a plane trip tomorrow. You need to fix me, and you need to fix me now. And he's looking at them like, really? You know? And, you know, people are so disconnected, I think, these days. They really are thinking about that paradigm versus something, as we've said, you can take something in the beginning and maybe hold off or clear that even getting a hold in your system.
Mm-hmm. Well, our culture is not taught to think of doing something fresh off the bat. We're not taught to go to the doctor for the very first thing. In fact, it's highly sought against. I just talked to a pediatrician the other day who said he doesn't want to see children in his office if they're sick unless they've had a fever over 100.5 for 5 days. By then, that's a really long time. Now, on the regular side of medicine, more times than not, you go to the doctor and you're told it's just a virus. And for me, as a parent, it's the worst thing you can be told, is just rest and time and fluids. But with homeopathy, even if they just have that fever in the afternoon, you can find out what their symptoms are, or there's a handful of remedies that are so successful that you can give that remedy to your child or to you if you're feeling bad and completely abort it. So you get through it much, much faster. You don't have to get so full-blown. You don't miss work. You don't miss school. You do really, really well.
I think it's crazy, the idea of, you know, I had 4 kids, and I can remember going to the doctor, but this was in the 80s with my kids, and at that time, they loved to see them. They were like, hey, you know, if it's 99, you come on down, you know, and you were getting a prescription. And that is just the way it was in that generation. And now I find that it seems people are calling it new age medicine or alternative, and what you and I both do, and it's really not alternative. If you look back in the centuries of medicine, homeopathy and botanical medicine has been around forever. That is what the basis of medicine always was. I always tell the story about here in New Orleans is a very old pharmacy. It's the oldest pharmacy in the U.S. museum. And when you walk in the front door, there's little tiny pellets in tubes, and there's a book about pictures of flowers for botanicals. So really, I call, you know, the medicine that gives you prescriptions and stuff, I call that techno-medicine, you know, because it really didn't come around until everybody started to find these intricate ways to maneuver or manipulate nature or your body and make it better. They just, it's just been something different. And now, if you look at the, we've come full circle, because the other day, big article all over the internet that said, well, guess what? Superbugs are here. Your antibiotics aren't going to work. So what do you do now? You know? And if you're a parent with kids, you're like, I'm just sitting here and I don't know what to do, and my kids are not doing well. And homeopathy is so easy to work with children.
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, I mean, natural homeopathy or botanical medicine, that is the medicine. That's what Socrates has, you know, talks about, or Hippocrates, all of these old, old philosophies. You can find references in almost any religious manuscript old of using natural medicine to heal. So that's where it started. You're exactly right, where this, you know, the antibiotics or some of these medications, it's really new in the last 50 years. And there's a lot of healing that can be done. And it was kind of let go of or forgotten about in lots of places. But as this resistance to antibiotics come, or medications are so expensive, we come back to the simple, tiny little white pellets that are really inexpensive, really, really effective, especially if they're prescribed correctly. And you can help a child who's got a fever, whether the fever's from teething or whether the fever's from an ear infection. You can help somebody who has the stomach flu. And it's easy and quick, and you can get them through much better.
So let's talk about the remedies specifically themselves, what they are. So they're little white pellets, and they're also liquid. Can you share a little bit more about that, how they are made or what they look like when I see them in the store, and also about side effects? What if my kid gets in my purse and they eat the whole tube? What's going to happen?
Sure. So homeopathic medicines, they're natural, meaning they're made from either a plant source, a mineral source, or an animal source. And the way they're made is they're diluted down into really, really, really small amounts. So you take the medicine and you dilute it really, 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 really small. So this is different than taking Tylenol, where you might have a large amount. This is the opposite. It's in a small, small amount. And so the medications come, the remedies, the pellets come from that source, and then we medicate the pellets themselves. Or you can medicate some water with this substance. In the store, you're going to see the pellets as these little tiny round tubes. That usually the tubes are blue because the company that makes the most of them, and they're little tiny white pellets, and they look the same. You can't tell one remedy apart from another remedy. They all look exactly the same. But when they're made in their pharmacy, in the pharmacies, the little pellets are medicated. So all the pellets look the same, and then you take one medicine and you medicate this set of pellets, and then you take another medicine and you medicate another set of pellets. So when you get them, it's not like other medicines where you can say, oh, this one's red, I know this does this, or this one's yellow and does this. They all look exactly the same. So that's generally how they're made when you're going to find them in the store. You're going to find two kinds in the store. You're going to find these little tiny pellets that are little round balls. They're just made out of sugar, and the medication is actually imprinted on the outside of the little pellets, and you can take those. The other kind you'll find at the store is a lactose base. So they're a little pellet that as soon as they get wet on your tongue, they dissolve. Those are great to have little kids take because they won't spit them back out. I give them to my animals because if you've ever tried to give any medicine to your cat, they spit it right back out at you, where if it dissolves right away, you can spit it right out. It comes right out.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two kinds that you're going to find at the store. You're not very frequently going to find homeopathic medicines in liquid at the store. You might find those from your doc who's prescribing them, but very rarely at the store will you find that. The next question you asked was, what about side effects? What if your child gets into your purse and eats the whole bottle? with homeopathy, this is nice, because if they happen to take the whole bottle, it's not really any different than if they were to take one or two pellets. This is a totally different concept than regular medicine. If your child gets into your purse and takes a whole bottle of ibuprofen, you're really concerned, and you're calling poison control and potentially going to the hospital. With homeopathic medicines, because they're diluted down into such small amounts, really the dose comes, if you take all of those pellets at once, you're not going to get a strong enough dose to create any kind of negative side effects whatsoever. You will notice nothing. So what I tell parents, and I get this phone call a couple times a year, of, oh my gosh, Susie ate the whole bottle of Arnica, homeopathic Arnica, what should I do? Really, there's nothing to watch for. They were just these little pellets that there's no way that even cumulatively they can create enough of a reaction to create a negative side effect. So my response to parents is usually it was just a $4 snack.
Right, right. And, you know, that's such a hard concept for people to understand, because we're so used to these long side effect things that, I mean, if you watch a commercial on TV and you're thinking about a drug, it could take you 3 minutes to go through all of those side effects.
Right.
And then we wonder, you know, what's going on when we're taking these drugs. And I think people have gotten such a disconnect that they really don't even conceptually understand that those things may potentially not be something that's good for them. To be able to look at homeopathy maybe as a first choice rather than a last choice. You know, so many people tend to come to us, and I'm sure you have this too, when, oh, all else fails. And it's like, what do you mean all else fails, you know? All else fails because they have tried everything. They didn't get the responses or the help that they thought they were going to get, and now they're looking at homeopathy. So what you and I are both saying is, it's so nice to be able to use it in the beginning to make it easier on yourself, you know, rather than later.
Right. And the remedy, what it does is it stimulates your body to heal and to get better. So the remedy just gently nudges your body to heal. Our bodies have the innate or the natural ability to heal. They have all the pieces that need to go, just sometimes they need to be pushed in the right direction. I make an analogy to if you've ever been to a child's birthday party and you play spin the tail on the donkey, everybody can get the tail to the donkey, but you have to get pointed in the right direction. Homeopathy is kind of the same thing. The right remedy is just going to stimulate your body to do what it already knows how to do. So, therefore, you don't get those negative side effects. And if it's the wrong homeopathic medicine, then I just pointed you to the door instead of to the donkey. And you don't have any, you don't have a reaction. So the side effect, if there's any side effect in homeopathy, is you give the wrong homeopathic medicine and everything goes on as if you've done nothing. And I don't really consider that a side effect. If I have a scratchy throat and I'm going to bed at night and I think, oh, I'm going to take this remedy, Ferrum Foss, and go to bed and wake up in the morning. If I wake up in the morning and I'm still getting sick, I know I didn't have the right medicine. If I wake up in the morning and I'm a whole lot better, great. I just saved myself a handful of days of feeling terrible.
Right. And you know what? It's also so much easier if kids are running around with just a slightly running nose versus laying on the couch moaning and groaning and disrupting the whole house, to be able to give them that little remedy in the beginning and say, okay, you know, we're looking at this ahead of time. We're not going to wait until it gets to be a big thing. I know so many people these days with the changes in insurance and how much expendable cash they have, they wait until it's so bad, and then they go to the doctor. And instead of getting, you know, one prescription and maybe one day off from work, you're pretty well 2-3, sometimes 3 weeks off of work with 3 or 4 prescriptions and going back to the doctor once or twice because it's still not cleared. And it's so much harder on your body to be able to fight something way down the pike when you can just take care of it in the beginning. It just seems so much easier. I know you and I, it's like speaking to the choir, but we're trying to suggest this to listeners, is homeopathy is something to look at in the beginning. You know, if your kid is screaming because their ear hurts, maybe a remedy might be right then, because the doctor will say, I can't see you till the next day. So there really is no harm in taking a remedy for that day to get you through to the next day. Many times when you get to the next day, you go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, I don't see anything, and you're going, Okay, so did he not have anything yesterday and my kid was just screaming, or what's going on here? And your doctor may not even know the answer, that that remedy may have cleared that earache. So that's definitely a new concept for a lot of our listeners. So can you speak a little bit about that? About, I'm sure you've done that too, you know, when take a remedy and they come in and there's nothing wrong.
Sure, sure. So you'll take a remedy. Say your child is crying that night, or I'll use croup as a good example, that you're going to bed and you happen to know one of the three remedies for croup. So we'll set the stage a little bit that your child was out playing. They're playing out with their friends in the early day, and it was cold and windy because it's a fall and we've got that cold wind. They come home and from playing outside, and their nose is red and running, but you don't think necessarily anything of that because they were just outside running and playing. They eat dinner, they go to bed, all is fine, and then at midnight they wake up, and they wake up terrified, and they wake up with this big barky cough and high fever, and they're really restless and really anxious. You can give them the homeopathic medicine Aconite. They'll settle down within 10 minutes and go back to sleep, and that's the end of the croup. So you call the doctor and you say, my child had croup last night, come in. And you go in, and there's no evidence of any illness at all. So then the doctor will say, well, watch out, it could come back tonight. But with the right remedy, it won't. That was it. And the parents know something is greatly wrong. Or you can use the example of an earache. Your ear really, really hurt, like what you were saying. Your ear was really, really, really painful, and your child was really angry, and you picked them up, and they screamed, and you sat them down, and you screamed. You picked them up and they sort of calmed down, but the second you did what they didn't like, they were angry and crying, and it's a really hard day for parents. I know there's probably many listeners right now who have had that child. I've had that child. And
I've had that child.
Yeah. You give them the homeopathic medicine chamomilla, and within 5 minutes they calm down and they settle down and they go to sleep and they play as if normal. You still take them to the doctor because you're worried, and you go to the doctor, and they say, there's nothing. I see nothing wrong. Your child is fine. Most of my patients will give that remedy, and then if they don't get better, then they make the doctor's appointment because they've learned that try this first and then go to the doctor if you really need to, or if there's still symptoms that are going on. Because more times than not, these handful of homeopathic medicines will stop that, and you're done.
And I think there's a lot of fear there as a parent that, well, if I give this remedy, you know, if I don't go to the doctor and he doesn't confirm it, that I might be a bad parent or something may be going on underneath that I'm not looking at. And I think what we need to know as parents is to have a little bit more confidence in yourself that your child will tell you what they need and you're doing something positive. Homeopathy is not a what I always call Birkenstock and green goop. This is not crazy stuff. This is the medicine that's always been. So to try something that's always been there, it's not like, well, it hasn't been tested. Yes, it has. There's no records on it. Yes, there is. There's no books about it. Yes, there are. Is there any history around people using it? Yes, there is. There's centuries of history using it. So we've really kind of gotten all of that tenuous questioning out of the way, I think, with homeopathy.
Yeah. There's so much evidence with homeopathy. And we have these fears of if I don't take my child to the doctor, what if something is really wrong? Well, this is why I will do what I call the treat and transport. I'll give you a remedy, and then go ahead and go to the doctor if you're worried about it. But if your child starts to feel better, then change that appointment. And I think that is shifting a little in our culture, not because people are more on board with natural medicine, but because the doctors are so busy, they don't have time to see you. And so it's kind of inadvertently happened. But I will still tell the parents, go ahead and make the appointment. Yeah, you can't get in until tomorrow, but make the appointment. You can always cancel tomorrow because someone else potentially might need that appointment. And you can do that. And if there's a concern, you can have it checked out. But we can use these medicines that have been around always people will say, oh, where's the proof? Where's the studies? There's tons, and I won't bore you with them. But there's a lot of evidence and a lot of things that really show the effectiveness of natural medicine. The problem has happened is that in the last 40 years, we've got really, really focused in some of these new medicines that are biochemically made, saying, let's show this report in this study. And in reality, that's always existed.
And also, too, when people say, I want to go still see the doctor, and there are times now when you go to the doctor and you're demanding that he give you a prescription. And the doctors are getting a little bit that they have a lot less tools in their basket. They know they can't give out prescriptions as often as they used to. So their hands may start to be tied. So if you have a child or a few kids and you notice that out of the last 10 times that you've gone to the doctor, you've only come away with a prescription maybe 5 times. Those other 5 times, you might have been kind of angry because you're like, well, you mean my child has to suffer, or you mean my child has to stay sick? And you know what? Sometimes the body just does have to get sick to be able to know how to clear things and be able to heal itself. A cold is not a bad thing. A sore throat is not a bad thing. The flu is not a bad thing, even with croup. Okay, so they learn to cough really hard, and, you know, I've had 4 kids with croup, believe me. I've been down that road so many times. And there are things that do have to clear on their own. So this constant running and demanding something, fix it, because you've got to go to work, the kids have to go to school, you don't have any daycare, blah, 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 blah. That's really not what you're asking the doctor. You shouldn't be asking is, you know, fix them so I can go on with my life. What you really should be saying is, will this potentially clear in my child, and will they be okay through the passage? And what Dr. Lisa and I are saying is homeopathy will get you through that passage with a few less symptoms, or maybe not having it get so bad, or having the child feel comfortable. That's what we're talking about in homeopathy. Because when you start to go to these doctors and they're going to stop giving you what you want, you have to have, as a parent, more tools in your toolbox. So
right.
Dr. Lisa, could you give us a few ideas about maybe 3 or 4 remedies that we would start as a parent to have in our toolbox that you could say, you know, this, hey, I'm going to just go buy that, and I'm going to write down on a little card what I could use it for. And the next time,
sure,
I'm going to give it a try.
Sure. So my very first one that I will have parents use is a remedy called belladonna, homeopathic remedy belladonna, because it's a remedy that's indicated in fevers. And Our kids get fevers. They have to get fevers in order to develop their immune system. A child who never has any fever or runny nose actually, as an adult, will have more trouble with chronic illness than one who gets a handful of fevers and illnesses. Belladonna, we know this fever because this is a classic reaction in children. The symptoms come on suddenly and violently. So they're fine, and then boom, all of a sudden they have a fever of 101 or 102. When you look at them, their face is bright red, it's hot, it's dry, there's not any sweat anywhere. They look like they don't feel good. The peculiar thing about belladonna is their head will be burning up and their trunk is burning up, but their hands and feet are ice cold. And so I will always look for that symptom with belladonna. If they have a fever and their hands and feet are ice cold, I will automatically give belladonna. The symptoms seem intense, so you can see this from a fever caused from an ear infection. You can see this from just a fever because we don't know what the infection is going on. And so any sudden onset of a fever where you have that really hot head and cold hands and feet, you can give belladonna. The fever goes away very quickly. And then don't forget, with belladonna, your face is bright, bright red, and you're hot. So that's my first one. The next one that I really, really like in my arsenal for little kids is chamomilla. We've mostly heard of chamomilla because most people are familiar with something like chamomile tea to calm you down. homeopathic chamomilla is similar. The baby or the child who needs chamomilla is crying and screaming. You can't comfort them. This is exhausting. This is the baby that I was explaining a little bit ago. That it's exhausting. You put them down and they scream and they cry and they're really upset. You pick them up and they still are crying and they're still fussy. They reach for this toy and you give it to them and then they cry and they throw it that they don't want it. And then they want their blanket. So you reach down and you give them their blanket and then they hold it and then they throw it and they scream. They don't know what they want. They're all over the place. And this is exhausting, exhausting. This baby or child, when they're upset, will scream and cry and arch their back. They seem really, really, really angry. This is really common in teething. This is also really, really common in ear infections. You can see with chamomilla, they might have one cheek that's really red and the other cheek that's really, really pale. But the big symptom with chamomilla is they're inconsolable. They may have a fever. They might not have a fever at all. So you might see this in something like colic or gas in the tummy. You could see something with teething or in some kind of fever. Or we don't know why, just the baby or the child appears to be in a really bad mood. I'll give you a story of a little boy with who needed chamomilla, a very good friend of mine. I was at her house, and she had a little baby who was about 6 months old, 7 months old, and he was so upset, and he was just crying all day long, and she'd pick him up, and he was crying, and she'd put him down, and he was crying, and he'd scream and arch his back, and he'd want something, and he'd throw it away, just like what I was explaining here. And I went over there, and she said, "Lisa, I don't know what to do with him. I just have to set him down and let him cry because I don't know what to do with him. I can't settle him down." And any of you right now who are parents and you've been in that mode, you know the feeling. You can already feel that restlessness of, oh, what do you do? So I said, "I have something for him." So I gave him chamomilla, and literally within 10 seconds, he crawled over to the window and was pointing out to the dog, and he was fine the whole rest of the day. And my friend said to me, "I would have called you over here hours ago had I known we could have had that response," because he was so much better so instantly. And so chamomilla for kids, almost every baby, every child, every toddler needs chamomilla at some point in their life.
And those are some that you would have in the house, and you can get these over the counter. So when they go to the store, they see two different potencies sometimes. What would you suggest they keep in the house, and how would you use those?
Sure, sure. Really, I tell people don't get too caught up in the potencies because that gets confusing fast. My personal favorite is to get a 30C. But I don't think in an acute situation like this, if you picked up what you found, that's not going to matter. But if I'm telling people to get something, I say go to the store and get a 30C. And then if you read on the pellet, it says take 4 to 6 pellets every 4 hours or something like that. You don't need to give that many pellets. You can just give 1 or 2 pellets every 2 hours. And then if they don't get better after like 3 doses, then I might switch and do something different.
And then they would be, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, with the right remedy, say they need chamomilla and you give that one dose, this baby was better in 15 seconds, 20 seconds. You knew right away. So if you've given 3 doses of chamomilla and this baby's still screaming and crying and at wit's end, then we know that chamomilla is not what they need and you might look for something different.
And it's also, too, as a parent, it's not a failure and it's not a it's not the wrong thing, because a lot of parents feel like they're doing the wrong thing. If you give a remedy and it doesn't work, it's okay. It is totally okay. You just turn around and say, okay, that didn't work. What's next? And you can give, as Dr. Lisa said, another remedy. It's not like a drug where you have to say, well, I'm going to give it to the kids for 5 days and we're going to pray and hope that this thing is gone at the end. A homeopathic remedy is give one dose and see what happens. And you'll know within a few hours, a few minutes, a few seconds, sometimes that day, if you need to change, right?
Correct. Yeah. If you don't see response, you know it's not right. I'll tell my patients the more intense the symptom, the faster I should see change. So this child who's screaming and violently upset, they should be better right after the first dose. If they're not, then I think something else. The other thing that can happen is you take the remedy and they're much, much better, and they're better for an hour or two, but then they seem to not be doing so good again. They seem to slip backwards. At that point, you can go ahead and give them another pellet. And you don't have to pay attention to the clock and say, oh, I can't give it, it's too early to give this dose yet. With homeopathy, right, the way that you redose the medicine is if your child is making improvements, they're doing well, they're making improvements, you don't give any more. As soon as they start to slip backwards or they're not doing as well, that's when you redose the medicine again.
And that's very important, too, because you could send a child, now, I'm going to get caught for this, I know, but you can put a homeopathic remedy in a water bottle if you had to. And if the child goes to daycare or is with a grandmother, or let's say, you know, you're at work and your grandmother's there at the house and you're really, the grandmother is not really knowing what needs to be done, and the child starts to scream, you could say, just give her a drop of water from the water bottle. And mm-hmm. I have done that with patients before, and they're like, what? Just give her a drop of water from the water bottle. And they'd be like, oh, okay, she's sleeping now. She must have been thirsty. And you go, okay, you know, thinking in the back of your mind it's going to be okay. And knowing that you could still have this medicine with you at all times. Have you ever suggested that with kids?
Oh, I do it all the time. So you can put one little pellet in their water bottle, and they can, usually what I do, just for ease sake, is you can do exactly what you said, where you say, you send their water and they're crying and they call and you say, oh, give them a little bit of the water to feel better. Frequently,
right,
what I will do is I will send the water with the kids and almost let them just kind of sip on it as they need to. Very rarely is a child going to be so thirsty that they're going to sip through the whole bottle right away. And if they did, it's not that big of a deal. You put one pellet in the water and it kind of medicates the whole water, or it makes the whole water have the remedy in it. And this is another concept that's totally different than any other medicine, even herbal medicine or certainly conventional medicine. But you can put that little pellet in the water bottle and they can sip on it throughout the day to help them get through the day better. So this is great if you're at grandma's house and grandma's not sure what to do. They just kind of sip on it for ease sake instead of going into this whole big redose only if they're not doing well. I'll just say just make sure they're drinking water throughout the day. It's so much easier. Or my children who I'm sending to school who have, you know, I had a child who had some dental work done. And so I said, you know, just put a remedy in your water and then sip on it throughout the day. That way there's not this big concern of what are you taking, what are you doing. You just kind of sip on your water throughout the day. And there's zero harm in it. If somebody else was to get a hold of their water and drink the water, there's zero harm in that. They're not going to, because remember, the remedy is stimulating the body to heal. It's not having an action like it's an antibiotic where it's taking away all of the bacteria, or it's something like a fever reducer where it's suppressing the fever. So if your body doesn't need it to heal, your body doesn't recognize it's there. So if someone gets a hold of it and says, hey, I'm going to drink your water, you don't have to be like, oh, my gosh, something's really wrong. And that's something you can do in homeopathy that is so great. And I understand that concept is way, way different than what we're used to thinking.
And also for fathers to be able to do that, because so many times, you know, fathers are like so busy with their work and they might have to be home that day with the child or picking up the child or whatever it might be. It's so much easier to just say, here, give them this, and just let it go. Because a father will say, okay, that's easy, I can do that. You know, whereas,
right,
you mean I have to carry these around and, you know, it's so much confusion and I don't know what to do. And, you know, you don't have to give them the whole story. You don't have,
right,
to give them the whole dissertation on what they are, who they are, blah, 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 blah. It's like, here, just give them that and just walk away. It's so easy. I was wondering if we could talk about one thing, though. because so many people nowadays are flying, or they've got these cell phones in their pockets and everything, and computers on their laps, or these pads in their hands all the time, and they've got homeopathic remedies on them. What is your thought on that, about the, you know, about the concerns of the safety of the remedy, or even its stability around all these electronics?
Sure, sure. That's a good question about just are they safe around all of these electronics? I'm fairly careful to not set my first aid kit, my homeopathic first aid kit, directly on my computer or in my office. It would be spatially ideal to put my printer on top of my remedies where they are, but I won't let that happen just because of the question of the electronics and is there something there. The thing is, we have all of these electronic waves, these EMF waves, that we don't really know what they're doing. And so I avoid it as best as I can. With that said, however, I've traveled lots, and my remedies, I always let them go through the conveyor belt on the when I'm going through security. I don't check them and put them underneath the luggage because that radiation is a little bit heavier than what goes through on the conveyor belt, like if you're walking through just carry-on luggage through security. So I won't worry about that. I have seen people put their remedies in a leaded, photographed camera, those leaded bags to go through.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, and I've used my remedies that have traveled with me tons and tons of times very, very successfully. So I tend to not be so concerned about that. But I'm cautious. Like, I'm not going to send it straight. I'm not going to put it on the luggage that goes underneath, because they go through much more intense radiation screening. I try not to have my remedies directly on my computer, or I keep them separated. They'll be in the same bag, but I try not to let them be touching right together. Reality, if you do it by mistake and you're like, oh shoot, I just held this all together, my remedy is ruined, I don't think necessarily that's true, only because of my own personal experience. There's been so many times I've had a remedy in my pocket and my cell phone right there, or they've all been in my bag together, and I've needed that remedy belladonna because my child has a fever, and they react great. They get better. The same is true with heat. People will say, how hot can the remedies get? If they're in liquid, that's a different conversation. But when they're in these little tiny pellets, I had remedies in my car in Phoenix that lived there always. I always have remedies in the glove box of my car, Arnica mm-hmm. in particular. And my car inside Phoenix, I mean, if the temperature outside is 117 and my car is sitting in the sun, my car could be, I don't know, hot, 160 degrees, easy, the glove box even more. And I've needed to use Arnica, and I pull it out of my glove box, and it works every time. So I don't have a good reason to explain why it doesn't always seem to matter, but I do use caution with stuff like that.
And I have said to people before, they would be like, there's an expiration date on here. You know, what am I going to do? I have to run out and get more. And I've also said that at the same time with that, just use it. Just use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So
they have to put expiration dates on because that's part of the regulation, but just use it. And homeopathy, if we would just take the fear away of taking a risk and saying, you know, I'm just going to do it anyway, I think once you get into it, there's really no going back. You know, you'll really get into just doing it for almost everything that you possibly can. Now, there are times when homeopathy doesn't always work, and that's what the doctors are there for. So you and I are not saying you'll never need a doctor again. That's not what we're saying at all. We're just saying give it a try, do what you can with it, and you know your options. And to have options is the key point here.
Yeah, yeah. If you give a remedy and it's not helpful, that's okay. You just find something different, or
right.
Maybe that is when you need to go to the doctor. The harm, there really is no harm of taking a medicine. And once you realize, oh my gosh, that belladonna worked so well, you start thinking, what else could you do? Just like my mom.
Right.
That's why I'm here today, because my mom is like, that is really cool. And she tried it with some little things like fevers or headaches or urinary tract infections on her kids, on me. She's like, this is really cool. And the next thing you know, that's all she wants to do. And now she does a lot of homeopathy in her practice. And that's my passion. That's what I do simply because of that.
And it does make a difference to be able to use something so easily, too. I mean, you could be still going on a trip across the country. You could drive into any health food store or natural foods or any of those type foods that carry these type products, and you can get it anywhere across the country over the counter. So the availability is there, and it's also inexpensive. You're not saying, well, I just paid, you know, a lot of money for this prescription. I'm going to give it to them until they do the last drop because that's all the money I had, and I want to make sure they're worth it. You know, a homeopathic remedy can be cost different areas. It could be $2, $3, $4, $5. It could be anywhere along that spectrum. So it's very inexpensive, and it's something you can always have with you. So, Dr. Lisa, we have about 5 more minutes. Could you give us a few more remedies that you might think of that would be really important to keep in the house? How about let's think about the parents at this time. We would say maybe, you know, my back is really sore, or I'm having a really bad tension headache today, or maybe, those are two to start. How about an upset stomach? Because let me tell you, that's going around these days, too. How about those?
Sure. So say your back is really, really sore and it's really stiff. And when you sit down, it's okay, but the process of actually getting up, so you're going from sitting to standing, and it's really, really painful, your low back maybe in particular. Once you get going 10, 11 steps, you're feeling better. But in that moment, it's really, really stiff. It's really hard to get up. You feel much better if you have like a heating pad or you take a hot shower or you sit in a hot bath or a hot tub. You notice that the longer you sit still, the worse your back begins to feel. So if you're sitting still, your back hurts. But if you're up and moving, it's not so bad. Pretty classic back pain. That's great for a homeopathic medicine called Restox. And again, you could take it the same way. You could take one pellet, see how you're doing. If you're feeling better, take it if you need to, or you can dose it as you need to. If you've taken it for a day and your back is hurting and there's no relief, then you switch to something different. Let's see. Stomach aches. This is another good one. Say,
hang on one second. Can we go back to the back pain where you're sitting and you're kind of sore, but when you're standing for a long time, you still have it too. Would that be the same remedy?
If you're standing still. So yeah, if you're still in whatever position, mm-hmm. still. So whether you're standing still for a long time or sitting still for a long time or laying down for a long time, that's when mm-hmm. when you would think of Restox.
Great.
That if you're moving, it's better.
Great. Okay, we can go to the stomach ache now.
All right. So Thanksgiving is coming. And it's our favorite things to eat, all kinds of turkey, all kinds of stuffing, all kinds of sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie. And my aunt makes the coolest cookies over Thanksgiving, and it's very easy to overindulge. A terrible stomach ache. You might get irritable. You might get heartburn. Maybe at Thanksgiving you get too much wine or some alcohol. But just this overindulgence. You've done too much, and so your stomach is upset. And then you get irritable, and now the festivities of Thanksgiving aren't so fun because you feel terrible and you're pretty grouchy and pretty irritable. The remedy that I do very frequently for that is Nux Vomica, homeopathic Nux Vomica. Anytime there's a big upset stomach and you're irritable and it happened because you did too much of something, too much sugar, too much alcohol, too much meat, too much of anything, too much coffee, Nux Vomica can really help settle that indigestion and that heartburn and that upset stomach. So for Thanksgiving coming up this week, that's a good one to keep in mind.
And hold on for one second. But also with that, it's really important to also note, it's really great when you think of you have to throw up, which is that you have to vomit if you don't remember the remedy. We have to correlate something here because people don't really remember. That's a good idea to be able to use that in your head to think, oh, I can use that there, right?
Yes.
Great. Okay. We can go to the next one.
So I'll go to the next one. Okay. Let's see. A tension headache or a headache that we can have. Say that we have a headache. We've been doing a lot of work, and we're exhausted. We're really, 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 really tired. We don't feel like we can stay awake. Our head hurts. Our shoulders hurt. They're really, really tight, and that comes up through your head and kind of over your head. I always envision like the way ram horns come up and around in this circle. You can feel it start low and come up and over. And you are droopy, and you are tired, and you just want to lay there, and you think, I don't think I can get up. My head hurts. I'm exhausted. There's been so much going on, and I'm at this point of just collapse right now with this tension headache. The remedy gelsimium can be very, very helpful.
And also, when you think about gelsimium, you also think about when you start to feel sick, when you have a cold or flu, and you get that headache too. So that may be a good one to start also, correct?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, gelsimium is a really classic flu or getting sick. You get that headache that comes up and over and just that heaviness and that droopy, drowsy, and dull is what I always say with gelsimium.
You know, I had a headache the other day for 5 days. It was my classic migraine. And I'll tell you, I had said to somebody, I wish I could cut my head off and use it for a bowling ball. I mean, I was just so beyond my sorts. But I had used all my homeopathics, and it just didn't cut it. So there are times when we say, you just have to go through these things and get to the other side.
Right.
So probably, had I not taken them, it probably would have been worse. But also, I didn't go to the drugs to be able to do something because I knew they didn't do anything. I just had to wait until my body got to the other side. And finally it did because, man, I was just overdone with that. But so there are alternatives. And we always say with homeopathy, there's homeopathy first, then you can see, wait, and then if you have to do something else, try another remedy. If that doesn't work, then you can go to your doctor in the meantime. And if all else fails, you can still do the treatment. So we're not saying either that, oh, I can't do a drug because I did homeopathy, or I can't do homeopathy because I did a drug. That's not what we're saying either, right?
Correct. No, you can do them. And sometimes you can use them. I've seen people use them together. And it's not going to interact. You're not going to have trouble. Many people try the remedy first, and then if not, it's okay to use some other regular medicine. You're not a bad mom if you needed to go on this road of using some other medicine. But you can try this first. It's much more gentle on the body. You usually recover better, and it's overall better to do.
And sometimes when you're taking a drug, you say, I'm taking something for my back, like in the morning, and by lunchtime, I can't take any more of that drug, and I don't know what to do, but I'm still in pain. That may be a time where you'll be able to look at homeopathy for it also. Or like people take these drugs to sleep and stuff, and then they wake up. You could take homeopathics in the middle of the night to be able to fall asleep for the rest of the evening. Or they take all of these drugs, you know, like combination remedies for colds and flu, and it says on the bottle, do not exceed, and you can't exceed it, but you still can't breathe. Or you still feel like, you know, your head is going to explode, or you feel like you can't swallow. That's the time to use homeopathic remedies. So, Dr. Lisa, we're coming to the end of the show. We have about 3 more minutes. If you have anything in closing, that would be great.
You know, I think the thing that I like to say in closing is homeopathy is so gentle, it's so mild, yet it's so effective. When you're using nature, nature is one of the most powerful things that we have. We know this. You see a little bit of rain and no big deal. You see the mass power of water that comes with a hurricane. That's the power of nature that you can use. So the power of homeopathy to really be able to cure is like that. It can be very, very gentle. But yet, if we really need something, you can really get a lot out of a homeopathic medicine. And yet, at the same time, if it's not the right homeopathic medicine, you're not going to have negative effects. It's not like taking a conventional medicine, Tylenol, for example, and say, whoops, I took too much. You don't have those negative side effects like that. So it's so safe. It's so gentle. It's so effective to have at home. but I ask people why not to use that first? Why not try these for your kids and for your family and then build on it as that time comes?
And you can eventually start to build your kit at home where you try two or three remedies and then you say, hey, I've got really bad menstrual cramps. I think I'll try it. Or, I just twisted my ankle the other day and I'll try it again. Or my husband is coming home saying, man, my back is just so tired from driving. These are all times you can try a homeopathic remedy. You're not giving yourself a drug, so you're not going to have the side effects of, oh, I can't drive, or, oh, I shouldn't be operating heavy machinery. Don't you love that one? there's none of these warnings on homeopathy. Zero, zilch, none. So it's really great as a parent to know you can have some more tools in your toolkit.
And there's lots of resources that you can look. I know on my webpage I have a 90-minute free download explaining more detail what is homeopathy and talking about homeopathy and first aid and building that piece. We didn't even talk about that today. There's so much that you can build, and you can build your kit little by little by little, and the remedies don't expire, so you can keep them and use them later.
You know, I think I have some remedies that are probably maybe 20 years old. You know, you don't even notice as the years fly by and you look and you go, wow, I didn't even know that was in there. And I've used them and they've worked. So I know that expiration time doesn't matter. Or even, hey, if this one, if it's been in the bottom of your purse forever and a million years and you've switched purses and kind of just left it in your purse in the back of your closet, you can still pull it out and use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Dr. Lise, it was great having you with us today. If you could please give us your website and how to reach you so our listeners will know if they can be able to contact you, that would be wonderful.
Sure. The best, my website, which has all of my contact information on there, is www.purehomeopathy.com. Do you want me to spell homeopathy? That might be good, do you think?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So www.pure, P-U-R-E, homeopathy, homeopathy.com. And on that website, you will find my email address, you will find my phone number, you will find more information about homeopathy, and I really encourage you to use it as the resource that it's meant to be. And if you have questions or whatabouts, contact us at the office, and we can answer those and help you begin this journey.
You know, it was really great having you on the show today. I know it's really hard as a parent to be able to know what to do and say, oh, my goodness, I'm scared to anything, you know, to be able to try something with my child. They're so innocent and you don't want to harm them, especially with the high incidence of childhood issues later on. You don't want to be a contributor to that factor. So thank you so much for being with us today, and hopefully some of the listeners will be able to say, no, I'll give it a try. If I'm super scared, you can always contact Dr. Lise. Her website link is on today's show page, and if you need further contact, you can also give a call to me. My information is on today's show page also. So Dr. Lise, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Great. Thank you. And so if anybody needs more information about Dr. Lise, again, her website is posted on today's show page. You can click directly through there. And she also does have that free download available where you can find out more information about homeopathy. So please do take advantage of that because it's a great thing to be able to have. You can download it on your computer. You can have it on your computer. And you could say, you know, I'll run to that if I need it. You could also put it on one of those pads, those iPads or whatever on your desktop, and it will always be there. And you can also be able to find out more information from Dr. Lise. You can give her a call, fill out her information on the Contact Us page. So today, thank you for being with us. I hope you have a great day, and do give homeopathy a try. It is really safe. Hey, if it wasn't safe, her and I wouldn't be here these days because we take quite a bit of them. So have a great day, and until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Thank you.